English clubs about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing?
Hell of a draw. Some might call it a win. Felt like a win. Classic United comeback. How are you feeling after that Burnley match?
Felt like a draw.
Dogged match.
Felt like a draw. I don't know about a win. But do like the never say die attitude. Do like the fact that when faced with, you know, adversity for the first time under Ole, the boys showed a little bit of grit and fought back. I think we could have gotten the winner if we didn't have such a little bit a bastard of a ref officiating that game. But dude, still unbeaten. The perfect start has come to an end, but no shame, bro.
Still unbeaten. You know, the glass is half full on Ole's side of Manchester here, I'm going to say. Players exceeding expectations. But, you know, I'm going to look at this lineup, sir. We're going to jump right into it here because I think this is a big reason why we did not get those 3 points, like you had said earlier. We had Dave saves in net, world number one. No one's going to dispute that, Ole. We had Ashley Young, Victor Lindelof, the Iceman. Phil Jones, he's good for a gaff or two.
The opposite
and
of the
Luke
Iceman.
Shaw as a back four. Midfield three of Pereira. That was the surprise start coming in. Pogba and Matic locked in. And then we had Rashford, Lukaku, and Mata. So apparently Martial got sick, did not make the starting 11. At least that's what I heard, sir. I don't know if your sources say differently. But the big surprise for me is Andres Pereira, given his, you know, big debut for him here. I mean, this is like first time he's really been put into 11 when we got a win, and I did not expect to see him on the lineup.
I did not expect to see him in the lineup. I also did not expect to see him playing in that position in the lineup, especially when we have a Fred, £52 million signing, who has played probably more at the top level than a Pereira, has more years underneath him, and has slotted into this position, you know, as like a dual CDM with him and Matic. So a little surprised to see Pereira, because Pereira's always played as a 10. He played on the wing at Valencia, so it was a big ass, sir, and I don't know if he lived up to it.
Yeah, and him and Mata on the right-hand side, I didn't think was a good combination right when I saw the lineup. It'd be nice to have maybe Rashford through the middle, maybe Lukaku on the wing, and then Lingard. I think Lingard is the player we need, especially when we're trying to get five in the box, overload, create chances. Jesse Lingard seems to be the player. And when you have Mata with Pereira behind him, I thought that was going to be trouble. And I actually thought Ole took a page out of Ferguson's book on this one. Fergie would always make those changes that, as a fan, made you feel a little uncomfortable, but he'd always get away with it. And so you can never question Ferguson. So I actually thought this was like a throwback to Sir Alex here.
And he has to rotate, right? We do have a lot of games coming up. We need some minutes for some of these boys who aren't getting playing time. But I think it's you hit on it. And I'm going to compound it because taking Lingard, right? He's one of those. He's now playing in the diamond, picking off the ball a lot. Him and Herrera both basically do that job. One in the front, in the front three, one in the midfield three. So taking both those players out, we didn't get nearly as many turnovers as we have been getting, which has been a huge source of our attacking prowess, right? Coming from the break, catching them, taking the ball away, and attacking with pace. We also didn't have a lot of pace in the team other than Rashford and Lukaku. So you got to give Ole a little bit of a stick for this, but at the end of the day, I think this team's got to be good enough to beat a Burnley. You know, we're not playing Liverpool. We're not playing City. We could have, you know, we could have used that first early chance there we had.
No, that's Burnley came hard. They came hard. They exceeded expectations playing away from home at Old Trafford under the lights. And when I think Herrera and Pereira, their names sound similar. But as far as their style and what you're looking for a player to do, it's Herrera's got that work rate tracking back. Pereira does not seem to be that midfield player going back, interacting with the center backs, making those calm, cool decisions, as well as those key defensive tackles when we need it, and that not a like for like there. And Herrera does such a good job for us, and I guess that you can't understate what Herrera has done in recent weeks for Manchester United under Ole.
Well, under Ole, he stepped up as such a big player and such an important part of why this team has been clicking, why the midfield has been clicking the way it has, and why we've been seeing the best out of whatever front three he puts out there, along with Paul Pogba. So we definitely missed it today.
Well, hey, there's a match, and
let's talk
we're
about
kind of getting into the match talking about this starting 11, because I do think that is the opportunity that was missed. The starting 11, I don't think Ole quite got it right, but we did survive. First half jumping in. United start just like they have in every other match under Ole on the front foot, but Burnley are organized. They did come forward for a little bit, and then they just got in that shape and kind of held the classic Braveheart hold away from home for Burnley. And then in the 11th minute...
Consistency, signs that they're starting to find their own characteristic, but there's signs they're in trouble here. Lukaku, here's Rashford, he's prodded it wide.
Very surprising he's missed that. I think he tried to dink it over Tom Heaton in the end. But this is quick. Look at Rashford, the one-touch pass. And look at Rashford's movement, trying to get up and support a Lukaku. He can't get the shot away. It seemed to be a lovely first touch from Rashford. It looked as though he was trying to dink it over Tom Heaton.
Heartbreaker, sir. Heartbreaker. Marcus Rashford. Born a red, he's red hot in crazy form, and you know, Ole tells him, just take a minute, pass the ball into the back of the net. He tries a toe poke. Blame the snow, blame the rain, blame the weather, sir. What do you say? Marcus Rashford missing a sit-uh, mate. A sit-uh. You can't miss that, Rashi.
You can't miss it. I mean, Lukaku does what he needs to do, kind of lost the ball to his foot a little bit, but did enough, held the defender off, and
you could finish that, sir.
Dude, Rashford came in steaming, and you know, this should be patty cake, bro, for Marcus Rashford. The form he's been in, the way he's been finishing chances in front of net under Ole, so very disappointed in the young lad. But what are you gonna do, right? 11th minute chance. You gotta hope there's gonna be more chances like this in this game. But
shake it off.
This
sir.
Is probably one of the. This is probably the best chance we had all game.
When I saw this, I knew deep in my heart.
Oh, you knew. It was obvious.
It's almost like clockwork. You miss a chance like this, you have everything going for you. It could easily be, you know, 3-4-0. I did bet the -2 +144 for Manchester United. I was feeling strong about that, given my hot streak. And Rashford missing this goal, I knew that bet was gone, and I knew it was going to be a fight to win this game, and it had draw all over it for me. 19th minute, talking about chances for Burnley. Burnley force a play wide by pressing in central areas. All of a sudden, there's a massive chance. Wood is unmarked in the box. Rescued by Lindelof. Woods almost has a chance at goal to slot a pass to keeper from about 8 yards, but somehow the ball rolled through. So we looked vulnerable. For everything going forward, we looked good. We had that Rashford chance. Burnley in the 19th minute. Again, our defense. You have our midfield. It's kind of changed up. You got that back four, but Lindelof doing a job.
Lindelof showing why he is our best center back at the moment. But this is still that vulnerability of the back, man. Better teams are going to take advantage of you, and this team did in the second half. But this happens, bro. When you don't take your chances, you got a team that's well-organized, everybody behind the ball, and then they get a couple chances, you know, off some luck, off some deflections. But thankfully, Lindelof bailed us out early. But maybe a goal, you know, going a goal down in the 19th minute would have woken us up earlier than it did. Basically took to the 83rd in this game to wake us up.
Yeah, it's. I think that was best said in the post game presser when I think either Ole or Pogba said, "It's almost like we played where we were goal up when we walked onto the field." And I do think this 19th minute chance was like a little like shake, or we were a little shook because our system, we were going throwing the kitchen sink at them, and then we're vulnerable at the back, and that's something we got to start patching up. Be a little more organized, like you said. Greater teams will kill us on those opportunities. 22nd minute, great ball from Rashford to Mata in the box, but the Spaniard is just offsides. And I think he hit the post on this chance off the keeper's hand to the post, but amazing run by Mata, so looking dangerous on the right-hand side, even though we didn't see much from him. 37th minute, United better in the last 15 minutes. Nice pass from Mata to Lukaku, but the Belgian is flagged offsides. Again, Mata involved here on the right-hand side, looking dangerous with Lukaku up top. In 40th minute, Pogba scores from the corner, but is miles offsides. This was one of those toe taps Pogba has in the box, those long legs extending, getting onto balls that you don't think he can. Goes in the net. We finally think we have that breakthrough. My -2 is good, and then that flag goes up, so it was a heartbreaker. And then 43rd minute, Burnley turn it over in a dangerous position. Pogba should have done better and passed to Rashford, but he tries to do it alone. So hell of a first half. Going in at half, what do you think Ole's telling the boys? What did we have to improve? Give me your thoughts, sir.
Sir, you got to take your chances. I mean, I think Ole's saying you got to move the ball quicker.
There's only one, right? like Rashford's chance.
I mean, that was like a clear-cut chance, but I think the 43rd minute should have been a really good chance for Rashford. Pogba basically did what he did against Arsenal in the third goal. That worked out pretty well. It took a shot. Probably should have passed it to either option on his left or right. It worked out perfectly that it bounced right to Martial and he finished. But this was another instance. Like, Pogba can be selfish, which, you know, great goal scorers need to be selfish, but he is, at the end of the day, still a midfielder. So I think you need to take that pass, bro. When you have the numbers, it's a really good opportunity to put your center forward on one-on-one with the goalie. And instead, he tried to do it himself, and it didn't work out. So I think that'll come, right? Hopefully, Pogba was getting some feedback from Ole, you know, at halftime. Like, you got to make that pass, not just telling him, you know, about how great he's doing all the time. So we'll see, sir.
My takeaway in the first half was Pereira had to be yanked. And we talked about it. You and me text at halftime. My number one takeaway was Pereira's getting killed in the midfield. And I think has the talent. I totally want him at United. He should be on the bench. This game at home where Burnley's coming out, fit and firing, the midfield was too fast on him. And you could tell when he'd get on the ball, he would almost second guess himself. And that when the pace in the middle of the field is that fast, you cannot second guess yourself. Like, every time Pog gets the ball, he knows what he's doing. He knows he's going to beat a man. Someone, he's getting pressure on his... I saw Pereira, like, shy into a challenge, worried about the bigger Burnley players making a meal of him. And that was the key part of United I saw that needed to be fixed. Because you can't have him and Mata there, like we talked in the beginning of the podcast. And so I think he had to be yanked. I thought he had to bring in Herrera. Or, you know, Lingard actually would be a great sub. Maybe move Mata back in the midfield. Something to kind of plug up that hole, because that was the one thing I saw in the midfield that, you know, if we were going to get punished, it was going to be through Pereira.
And we certainly were, sir. But I agree with you, right? Because one of the things that our boys Herrera and Matic have been doing very well under Ole is that they've been given license to move forward. And they've done it well. You know, it's like they haven't been assumed attackers in this starting 11. But under Ole, they've been pressing forward, they've been creating chances, and they've been cutting through midfields. And Pereira, you would think he's an attacking player, would be good at that. But he you're right. He second-guessed himself every time he had a chance to go through midfielders and dribble.
Also, he wouldn't
play it
easy.
He turned around and made the backward pass.
Like, Herrera plays it easy a lot of the time, right? His job is to link the midfield. He's not trying to pick that killer pass. You got to get that to Pogba. I did see Pereira trying to force some things, taking the, you know, instead of going easy, he was playing it hard. And I think for a young player, you got to learn that. Like, McTominay came in last year and he did a good job about that. Playing simple, 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 link up the midfield, give it to the veteran players to really go forward. And for some reason, it wasn't his day. You got to give the lad some time. I saw Twitter like saying, get rid of him, like basically sell him. I don't think that's what we need to do. I just think it was too big of a game for him to just be like, all right, I'm in a midfield three here. Playing against Burnley at home, I do think we underestimated Burnley a tad bit. Second half, 48th minute, started off well. Mata had a good chance, saved by Heaton, and in the 53rd minute.
A few moments ago, I mentioned the options that Manchester United have among their substitutes. Oh, he's lost that here, Pereira. Real options for Burnley! It was catastrophic from Andreas Pereira. It was absolutely ruthless from Ashley Barnes. And how about this? Manchester United 0, Burnley 1.
Fucking Ashley Barnes. Hell of a hit. I'm going to, you know, hats off to him. Again, disastrous play from Pereira. Young midfielder. You can't be pulling that type of, you know, I guess he was trying to do a chop or cut it back.
Hard
facing the goalie, you know, it's not the time for that. This seems like a Pogba move.
He's usually more upfield when he loses the ball, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I've seen him do it in our third quite a bit. Not like right in front of net, usually in the corners. But Pereira, what are you thinking? Unfortunately for him, he was going to shortly get yanked after this. I thought halftime was the yank for him. And you see, this is like Sir Alex as well. Sometimes in a first half, you could tell a player just needed to be subbed. Say he puts in this cheeky lineup, player needed to be subbed, and he goes out ice cold and just lets him play because he wasn't going to sub or make any rash decisions at halftime. And I think Ole took a page out of Sir Alex's book with this as well. Like, let the kid settle in, he'll come good type of, give him another chance.
This might be one of those notches in the belt, lesson learned for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because I don't know if next time when this occurs, Ray, got a player who's obviously a little bit out of his depth, things are not just clicking today, you make that sub at halftime, because, you know, Fergie was certainly never opposed to pulling a player that it just wasn't working out.
Like, people want to slate McTominay. I've never seen him that out of sorts in the Manchester United midfield. Like, that was like a that guy was on a different pitch in his mind. Pereira was kind of a bystander as far as like looking at the play, how he'd get involved, kind of doing a lot of running, but not being involved in the game. And, you know, he's got a lot to work on. You know, the youngster thinks he can start at Manchester United. Well, hey, think again. Anyone, even 16th place Burnley, can hit you up. And in the 65th minute, that was the hook. Lingard on for Pereira. 67th minute, Lingard came on, changed things up. He was real quick. A lot of energy from Lingard. And the confidence, too. Looks like he's gliding out there. He knows he's going to impact the game. And that's why why isn't he starting? I mean, this is the one thing I hit Ole on is,
because we got a lot of games.
Why start? Like, the league is important, right? The top four is so important to him getting the job, even, right? It's not his job right now. And he's got to start Lingard. There's no reason not to start him. He would have started Martial. He would have started Rashford. Why not start Lingard?
Because Martial and Rashford didn't start last game, and Lingard did.
Yeah, well, there you go, sir. You got some rationale behind that argument. I'll give it to you.
Fair enough, right?
Lingard immediately changes the game as Mata switches to the right. Start feeling like it's one of those nights for Manchester United. 70th minute, Sanchez for Lukaku. Again, I thought Ole missed this sub as well.
I was a little surprised about that. I mean, Lukaku didn't have the best game because he's back up playing as a number nine. I thought, dude,
he's like the equivalent of our Fellaini. Looking at the Burnley back line, those guys are huge. And if you saw, all the opportunities were coming in from crosses into
the
box.
Get that either.
We were getting out wide. I thought Mata for Sanchez was a sub here.
Yeah.
Mata didn't really affect the game. He didn't really prove to me that he shouldn't get the yank. And the one thing I will go back, the ex-girlfriend, Jose Mourinho, he always valued size on the pitch late in the match when you're trying to get that equalizer. And Lukaku would have been instrumental. We were crossing the ball into, like, Pogba would get in there. But having, you know, Pogba and Lukaku, it would have been a different element towards the end of the game.
It might have if we had someone who could put in a cross.
Like Ashley Young crossing from one side.
Sanchez, I mean, he was like,
he had some good crosses. And
not until the very end. He was pretty awful.
I did tweet.
He was bad, I tweeted
that as well. He gets into great spots.
When you need it, right?
He gets into great spots, and sometimes the service is not so nice. Or the decision making that one time he shot. I was like, Ashley Young, come on.
What are you
on,
doing,
mate.
Man?
It's not.
What are you, Fernandinho? Just not trying to take a banger from 40 yards out.
2013 here. 70th minute, or 81st minute, great chance from Rashford, but he takes too many touches. Not his best game. Yeah, Rashford wasn't coming off from him. Tough to see the youngster struggling. But that's just the way it goes sometimes, especially when Burnley are fired up. And in the 82nd minute.
Barnes off the heels of Wood. Still able to work it out here to Goodmanson. In by Westwood. That's Wood! And there's a second for Burnley! This is turning into a night where Burnley are rewriting history. They're on course for their first win here since the 1960s, and they're on course to rip up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's fairy tale start.
You want to talk about Ashley Young? How about some defending there? And that was some good service as well. Woods heads clean for Burnley. I mean, at this point, I was going to shut it off. I was pretty mad. This is a tough result here. We did, after that Lingard sub, we looked like we were going to equalize, and then to be caught out here in the 82nd minute, tough gut shot, right?
Sir, it's just like lazy defending. Everyone's so concerned about getting a goal to equalize, they're not worried of the fact, you know, a team can go back and inflict even more pain on you. I don't know if it was Lindelof's fault, I don't know if it was Young's fault, but it was just like, we need to do better. That's not a goal you should be giving up to a lowly Burnley side, sir.
2-0 down at home against Burnley. Tough times at Old Trafford, and we would have to fight. And fight we did, sir. 83rd minute, Rashford beats his man, goes full steam into the box, kind of clothesline, kind of strange, on the edge. John Moss awards the penalty, then changes his mind, and then woeful officiating to you. I've got to say, it had to come from his assistant. Someone had to have a different angle, but it wasn't a penalty, in my opinion. Since he pointed the spot, that made me think pen, but I think he got it right at the end of the day here, right?
I mean, maybe on this call, but I think overall he had a pretty poor day. The guy was like...
He let him play.
He let Burnley play.
No, but that's part of the game. It's just like physical EPL. I mean, he's a classic EPL referee. Let him play. I mean, this was... You really think we got robbed here?
I mean, I don't know if this call, but there were some pretty poor calls, especially in stoppage time, the amount of stoppage time added. He blew the whistle early, mate. I've never seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that in a game. Someone blow the whistle before the stoppage time was over when we got a goal when there were a bunch of subs. So, John Moss, we've always had bad luck with him, and this is just more of that.
Hey, he didn't get it all wrong, and in the 87th minute.
Mata. Lingard goes to ground. This time the penalty is given. Hendrick had the hand on the shoulder, and that's enough for John Moss to point to the spot.
Yeah, he's got it right this time. It's a stupid challenge from Hendrick. Clear penalty for Lingard here. He's trying to just get the ball back into the box. Hendrick's arms are all over him. It's a clear penalty. Pogba taking it.
Paul Pogba, who scored and missed penalties for Manchester United this season. There's that run up, there's that shot into the top corner, and there's that lifeline for Manchester United. Still 3 minutes plus added time to play, and they've pulled one back.
He's never getting rid of that run up, sir. He's going to keep just yogging up to that ball and striking him as long as they go in. Can't complain.
Running out of time, and he's still doing that slow run up. But hey, rocket of a penalty. Heaton almost saved it. I mean, Heaton had a great game.
I thought he wouldn't do it because of the time.
He still did.
I thought he was going to hurry up.
Didn't hurry up.
Didn't. He hurried up, got the ball in the net. I mean, kudos to Lingard. Came on, changed the game, showing why he has to be a starter on our team. Week in, week out, he's the top man on the right-hand side. Unless Mbappe might
take him.
take
him as well.
Take that position. But, I mean, earned the pen. He came on, literally changed the game. Jesse Lingard in great form, just like Marcus Rashford and Paul Pogba. So, Pogba with another goal. Get him on your fantasy team if you don't have him. And, man, this got Old Trafford rocking, and the squad was ready to go. Sir, could we get another Manchester United score? They always score.
I knew we were going to tie it. I knew we were going to tie it at least. I was hoping for the win, but I knew we were going to at least tie it.
Nah, you can't get greedy in the 93rd minute.
Tarkowski meets it. Jones had to retrieve it. Back to Lingard. Young. They're queuing up there. Heaton with the save. Lindelof with the follow-up. The flag is down. Manchester United are level. Burnley hearts are broken.
More motion from Solskjaer. It's almost as if he expects it. United 2-1 were dead and buried. Can they possibly get a winner? This ball to the back post. Sanchez. He could have scored. It's a good save from Heaton. But he can't keep out the rebound from Lindelof. And unbelievably, Man United are level at 2-2.
Well, Lindelof will claim the goal.
Ashley Young with the cross, Lindelof with the finish. Unreal. Iceman puts it in 2-2. Old Trafford, you know, shades of the 90s, sir. Shades of the 90s here.
Ole time is alive and well. United, even under Mourinho, bro, we know how to come back from being down, but this is the first time we had to do it under Ole. Hey, great cross from Ashley Young. I'll tell you what, he can't get it in the 3rd minute or the 30th minute, but in the 93rd minute, he put in a perfect cross. Sanchez almost got the goal, but good from Lindelof. Be there, be ready, and not just, you know, smoke it wide like Jones probably would have if he
almost
was there.
Almost did. Oh, almost hit the keeper, but goes in regardless, hits the top of the net, and 2-2. That was all she wrote. A draw for Manchester United, dropping two critical points against 16th place Burnley, you know, coming in, the bookies had us the odds on favorite. You know, I took us -2. I do think that Rashford chance comes down to that. And football is a cruel, cruel sport when you measure the finer margins of the game. Match reaction, possession. Manchester United 74% of the ball at Old Trafford. That's the most I've seen in a long time. Definitely. To Burnley's 26%. Shots on target, Manchester United 9 of 28. Burnley had 4 on target, so clearly we're the dominant side, as everyone saw. But, man, we look exposed on the counter again. Seems to be an occurrence. We're giving up these goals. Dave saves. Can't be enjoying it. And Manchester United came from 2 goals down to draw against Burnley for the second time in as many Premier League meetings at Old Trafford, also doing so against the Clarets in December 2017. So,
if you remember correctly, Jesse Lingard was integral to that comeback as well, sir. This is just one of those games, you know? We had these games in Fergie. You have all the possession. You got a lot of good chances, but they're just like one of those stubborn, hard teams to break down.
And I thought they played well.
They did play well.
I mean, I thought they came at us. They were not concerned about the physical well-being going into challenges. They were bossing us off the ball. They're a large, physical English side. They wanted it. They came into our house, tried to spoil Ole's, you know, honeymoon phase with Manchester United. And, you know, it really showed that it was bend, don't break stuff for the starting 11, regardless of the wages they're on. Burnley striker Ashley Barnes has scored in his past 2 Premier League appearances at Old Trafford against Manchester United. Good on Ashley Barnes. Hate that, man. Like you just said earlier, Paul Pogba has scored and missed a Premier League penalty against Burnley this season, failing from the spot at Turf Moor in September. Same cheeky run-up. Paul Pogba still at it. I can't believe we've been talking about this for months. Get rid of that run-up, Paul P.
Make a change.
And Victor Lindelof became the 4th Swedish player to score in the Premier League for Manchester United after Jesper Blomqvist, Henrik Larsson, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
You know how to pronounce that last one, sir.
Yeah, there you go. The only one I know how to pronounce. And Sean Dyche has never lost a Premier League game on a Tuesday as Burnley manager, winning 3 and drawing 3 of 6 matches. Not sure why we care about that.
And he eats worms, which was the rumor last year. Still alive.
Hey, he's a crazy ginger. You don't know what he's capable of. He got Burnley fit and firing, so good on him. And Burnley, you know, the critical 3 points for them. So our top 4.
1 point.
I mean, 1 point for them. It feels like a loss for us, though. That's probably why I said 3 points. And you know, it's critical if we would be tied for the 4th place if we won, sir.
Sir, it feels like a, I mean, it could, you could take it as a loss. I'm always been a glass half full kind of guy. It depends on the order of those goals, right? If we got the first 2 goals and then kind of like slowed down and then they nicked a goal and then they nicked another goal and we tied it. Yeah, that's a loss. You're right. You blew it. This, we were playing pretty good, you know, like a couple youngsters.
The second goal
was terrible. That was shit. Mate.
No, I mean, that's
we should have won this game.
It feels like a loss because of the Rashford missed chance. Pereira obviously needed to be subbed. He was not. Gave up the goal. Both goals were preventable, in my opinion.
No doubt.
Both goals should not have happened. Pereira shouldn't have been on the pitch. He probably shouldn't have been in the starting 11 and should have been subbed at halftime. And then you have that defensive breakdown on the second one. So, shot ourselves in the foot is how I would put it. Like, you're Manchester United, you have the right players. Lingard came off the bench. You can have him make up a goal, right? But we made the mistakes. This was our game to win. If we had the right team on the field to start the game, we would have won. There's no question in my mind. Ole got a little too cute with the starting 11. Underestimated, you know, lower table EPL side, but they came in and fought hard, harder than most. They fought harder than Brighton.
Teams get up for a game. You know, some teams, not every team, but certain teams definitely get up for a game. Certain players, especially ex-United players, certainly get up for a game. Former United Academy lads always get up for a game.
Burnley always gets up for a game. For some reason, Burnley at Old Trafford.
But those last 10 minutes were absolute mental. I mean, it was like old school United.
Too late. But hey, what do we know?
Nothing.
Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
It was too slow. I think maybe we started the game almost feeling like the 8 previous games meant that we could start the game with a 1-0 lead. But it doesn't happen like this. You need to earn the right to win the game by having a good start. They made it difficult for us, but then again, we had a great comeback.
Ole, ole, ole. Started slow. He's good at the PR. Right. He makes me feel good listening to that explanation for the loss. But if I'm calling it like I see it, I put it on him taking Lukaku off the field. Didn't agree with that. And then Pereira starting and not getting him off the field when you could clearly see he was struggling. Those are his first mistakes. The first time I've seen Ole Gunnar Solskjaer blink at Old Trafford. And that's important because if you're going to win a league in this league, you got to be beating Burnley at home, right?
Well, you got to be. I mean, I think a draw is not the worst result in the world. The real important thing is he going to learn from the mistakes that he made in this game, right? About lineup, about making changes early when you can tell that something is not working out. You know, it's certainly hard on a young lad's confidence if you yank him at halftime. But Piera was probably deserved. It looked like it was going downhill. And my real hope is that Ole was throwing the hairdryer at the lads. You know, be like, you want to feel this bad way again? I hope this is, like, in a good way, the end of the honeymoon. Wake the boys up, realize, you know, okay, the all win streak has ended. We're still unbeaten, but at the end of the day, we're going to play. We got some really hard games coming up, and we have to get up for them because none of them are going to be given. We can't take anything for granted, and we're going to have to earn every inch on that field.
Feeling a little nervous.
Should
this
is
be. A chink in our armor going into that the month of Feb coming up.
It's
that's going to be tough. But hey, we're going to know where we stand. For better or worse, we're going to know where we stand. And clearly, Ed Woodward can see we need defenders, not signing them. But either way, let's check in with Paul Pogba.
Well, Paul, I can tell you're very disappointed. That's 2 points dropped, isn't it, rather than a point gained?
Yeah, I'm disappointed with what he does because we react today and the way that we played in the when we conceded the second goal, we should have started like that and the game will be different. And now it's done. You have to learn from our mistakes. And next time, I think start the game differently. That's it.
Paul Pogba sounding serious. Like he's lamenting the 2 points that they dropped. That's captain material right there.
You can hear the disappointment in his voice. He is saying the right thing. I mean, it's right. He's like, we're disappointed. We didn't come out the right way. We feel like we could have won the game, and we have to change that next time and learn from our mistakes. And that's what I want to see from Ole. That's what I want to see from the boys. Because it's onward and upward, bro. I think we made the best of this game. We should have won. We should have gotten all 3 points. But at the end of the day, it's good to show a little fight at the end of the game and come back and make the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, to the glass half full crowd out there, which I am, seeing the fight in the team, the players wanting to play for the badge, the manager has that right. That's more valuable than maybe missing a sub or disagreeing on a piece of tactics here and there with the manager. It really comes down to, are the players playing well? And when he put in Lingard, you see how well he's playing. The confidence, Pogba, the confidence. The players just, they have Old Trafford in their DNA. Not quite the ghost of Sir Alex's past, but the ghosts of the legends of Manchester United and what they would do when they were down a goal or needed to pip some points in the 90, like in stoppage time, they had it. They did it. And that is something that everyone watching at Old Trafford, it's just an amazing experience. That's why you're a fan of this team. They never say die. They never give up. They score. They always score. And they did.
And you knew they were going to score. I mean, once they got that penalty, you knew they were going to get another goal. And that's what made the last 10 minutes. And that's what made Fergie time back in the day so much fun. Because you knew they were going to score. Whether it was the winner or the tie goal, it just like it adds an element of excitement. Obviously, you don't want to be chasing a point against Burnley at home. But certainly exciting to watch. And, you know, I think it's very possible that Mourinho would have just thrown on another defender. Didn't want to leak a third
Fellaini.
Goal. Didn't want to leak a third
Fellaini
goal.
Fellaini be on the field. And he guess what?
When he's going to China.
Ole might not like Fellaini, but hey, could have helped in that in the last couple of minutes there. Sir, you got to hit us. I mean, you've been practicing all week on your word plays, reading Daily Mail headlines. Give us your tomorrow's Daily Mail headlines today, sir. Give us these spicy headlines.
Sir, this is like, if you were to look at like go to an Indian restaurant and think about their spice level, this is still a medium on the spiciness. You know, we're not diabolically spicy.
We're all cheering you on. We know that you're working on it.
I'll get spicier. But here we go. Ole getting rid of United's dead Woodward signings. I like that. Fellaini, the first marquee name that appears to be shipped out of OT. That is right. The tree, the Belgian genius, the famous 27 million pound man that David Moyes signed. First signing. It seems to be headed to China for a big deal, sir. And this
seems to be
not done yet, but all of the papers, all the pundits seem to be pointing in that direction. But hey, man, end of an era. I think he was a steward. Wasn't, for a lot of people, wasn't a Manchester United player, quote unquote, but he was there, put in a lot of shifts, got us some decent results.
Fan. Isn't your wife a fan of Fellaini?
She likes the height, something about it. You know, wishes her husband was 6'4".
She rates his fro.
Did not like shaved head Fellaini. Yeah, yeah. Wasn't as approachable as fro Fellaini. But this is certainly going to be well received by a lot of United faithful.
Twitter was just like slating him, everyone all over the board. And I'll never forget where we were when Fellaini was signed.
I remember.
We went on like a 5-day camping trip in the woods, like no cell service. I think Kings Canyon National Park here in California. And it was a killer hike. And we knew the transfer window closed. And I think we were like driving out and you were getting cell phone service. And we're like, who do you think we signed? Did we sign Fabregas? Like, who did we get?
Oh my God.
And you were like, we signed Fellaini. And I was so mad. We had like such a long drive. And I remember being like,
you were so mad.
So pissed. And I was like, David Moyes sucks. Like, this is terrible. Like, Woodward, whatever.
It's funny. And it wasn't even the worst mistake David Moyes made.
No, it wasn't. And I guess the legend of Fellaini kind of grew because Moyes really rated him. And I remember he played for Everton, did well up top, but it's such like a mid-table player. And for him to come in, just didn't match Manchester United. I think that is what people, you know, when they talk badly about Fellaini, it's because Manchester United shouldn't have a place for him in the side. It's like why we don't have Andy Carroll on our team. We should aspire to be playing better football, a better looking football than Fellaini requires. And under LVG, the hoofball got brought back. It seems like every manager just always had to put Fellaini in at the 80th minute. He did score some important goals for Manchester United. He took so much flack from the fans. And the fact that he just like stuck with it and kept his nose to the grindstone and never spoke out, I have to give him like a pass. Like,
he's a class act.
He deserves to leave. He was a class act. He did his job. He kept his mouth shut. Everyone hated him. And he proved me wrong as far as him as a person, but I don't want to see him in our team necessarily with Ole. And we do need a midfield unit that can kind of clog the midfield up or, you know, help us protect a lead. I don't know if Fellaini's that guy, but Ole doesn't rate him, and it's finally like he's headed out of the club, and it seems like getting rid of Fellaini is getting rid of that bad juju over the last 6 years. We're getting rid of that baggage that was never really Manchester United, the Manchester United way.
Well, he's a signing that's like endemic of the times, right? How much we've lost our way, you know, a different style of football, as you said. It's like hoofball versus playing wide, playing on the ground, quick football, quick tempoed. Dude, but he did do a job, and he never complained, and he was good. You know, if we had a lead, he was good to just throw in the back line.
Score some important goals.
Score some very important goals in Europe and in the league to probably save Mourinho's job a couple times, probably save LVG's job as well.
And the people that hate on Fellaini, they celebrated those goals.
Oh, no doubt.
That's the irony. I'm willing to admit I hated him, but he did a job, and he was a class act. So you got to treat him with class on the way out. Let's not kick him when he's down.
We're
he's
a class
probably
club,
leaving. Hopefully we're getting a lot of money from China.
Yeah, like £7 million.
Sir, give us your next
headline. Enough for a week of Alexis Sanchez's contract. Next one is Honeymoon Sunset. Draw against Burnley reminds Ole's boys that they have won nothing yet. And he has everything left still to prove, sir.
Seems to me the hype got ahead of the train a little bit here. And everyone expected United to just destroy Burnley, which we should have done. We should have destroyed Burnley. We were in a good form, players in good form. Again, I think the 11 that were put on the field, that is really what's to blame here for this Honeymoon Sunset. Like a shoot ourselves in the foot, and we think we just underestimated Burnley. I tweeted it out. We underestimated what they could do at Old Trafford.
Well, we got to make sure that when we play lowly Fulham, bro, we're going to be at that game. 19th place Fulham.
And it's away.
And it's away. You don't underestimate Fulham. Right. You don't understand Leicester. I know we got some big games coming up.
There's
PSG.
There's no excuse for
Liverpool.
Dropping points against bottom table sides at home. You got to win those. You got to get three there, right? You can make excuses for the Chelseas of the world, the Tottenhams of the world. But when it comes to Burnley, you got to just dispatch them easily. Sir, give us your next headline.
Next one is tight wad board going to make Ole prove it with what he's got. Because boys and girls, I hate to break it to you, but ain't no January signings coming in. Ole, he's on his own.
Sir, you get fired from the Daily Mail.
Sir, Daily Mail, I don't know if they're hiring, bro, because I think I don't know how they automate these headlines, but they're just
maybe just go to the Daily Mail, take some of theirs.
That's an idea.
Just take credit for them. I mean, yeah. This is this is something that fans aren't talking about. Fans are not talking Ole coming in, getting the energy around the club back, and getting those 7-7. No one's talking about Woodward not going out and signing a center back. No one's talking about Woodward not going out and getting a winger. It has to be a priority, especially where we're going to sell Fellaini. The likes of Pereira are starting on our team. There are things that we could do from, you know, the board's perspective that can improve this team, that could protect their investment, which top four is the primary return, and it's worth over £100 million. So why don't we sign players? And no one's talking about this, which I find funny. It's almost like because of the 7 games we won, and we did beat Tottenham, but those were pretty easy matches compared to what's coming up in February. So what's the story in January versus what's the story in February is totally different. And the story by the end of February might be, why didn't Woodward get anyone in January? We all knew our defense needed reinforcements coming in. Clearly, Victor Lindelof, you know, it's great that he's kind of step up to the plate. But we all saw Phil Jones yesterday. He was very close to making a Pereira move at the back there a few times. Got away with some, and you got to fix that. Just like I say, sub Pereira at half. Phil Jones can't be your bang-on starter. You're going to be playing against PSG. Mbappe, he ain't hurt. Phil Jones, what do you mean?
Dude, he can't be your bang-on starter. I don't even think he's good enough to be your backup, mate. Like, Smalling's, I think, is good enough to be your backup.
We'll probably have Smalling for PSG, right? It should be Smalling and Lindelof, I think, would be the starters.
No doubt. But, sir, I mean, this is what happens when you don't have a director of football and you have some mope who only cares about making money and doesn't want to spend anything and just like, well, I think the problem is, bro, is that they won all those games, you know? Everyone, I don't want to take away from Ole and what he's done. I think no matter who you beat.
No, you can celebrate
No matter who you beat, winning 7 games in a row is a big deal. Beat Tottenham, you beat Arsenal, you beat some, you know, Newcastle away, man, that wasn't an easy game. I know they're Newcastle shit, but at the end of the day, you did win 7 on the trot. And that bro's like, well, he's probably like, oh, I doesn't need any signings. He seems to be doing just fine with what he's got. So I'm going to just hang on to this money, worried about those dividends going to the Glazers, and not really pony up any kind of new cash for anyone coming in January.
I mean, this summer, what if Manchester United doesn't buy?
Are you crazy?
I mean, I heard that they have a stadium improvement in the plans right now.
They're going to go Spurs route and just like not spend any money because we've got us, you know, what? How much money do we have, sir?
I mean, it's all about making money, right? For this cast of characters, you know, which is, it's tough to, it could be tough going forward. If you think about it, next summer, we're going to be talking about a year Manchester United spending real cash. We bought Fred, bro.
We're going to spend real money.
Fred in a year. We bought Fred.
We're going to spend real
in a year. That's
We're going to break.
Fred doesn't even play.
Mate, I'm making a prediction. We're going to break the transfer record for a defender in the summer.
I don't want to bet against that.
We're going to.
I hate the transfers because I don't want to get my hopes up. And with the transfers, you got to be glass half empty until it like hits the website. Until he's holding up that Manchester United jersey. All right. Talking about the manager, we sent out a Twitter poll. Wanted to hear what you guys thought. Quote, has Ole done enough to be offered the job? ? Hashtag MUFC. So, two options. Obviously, yes, give him the contract. No, still has to prove it. 157 votes in. 59% say yes, give him the contract. He has done enough. And 41% say no, still has to prove it. I'm going to be the no, still has to prove it camp. The Burnley starting 11 and tactics. This one would be sort of my reason why. I got to see February. If February could be a dumpster fire, I don't think it will be. I think we'll probably come away with winning half of these tough matches here or there. What do you think, sir? Were you yes or no?
Sir, you know where I stand on Ole. I'm all about the Ole camp, but I'm still a 41%, bro. I'm still no, he still has to prove it because at the end of the day, we've got huge matches coming up and we're not going to win all of them. You don't have to win all of them, but we have to win a bunch of them. And it's about how we play, how we show up to those games, the mentality. Ultimately, I hate to say it, it's a results-based business. So what we get out of them. So I'm an Ole guy. I think he's my front runner. He's my number one pick, but we still got to get through February and then maybe into mid-March before we make a decision.
Absolutely makes sense. Let's check in with the Twitterverse, sir. They had a lot to say about this match. At Stuart Gardner, good follow on Twitter, at 2-0 down with 3 minutes to go, not many would have predicted at Man United would actually make up ground on top four this week! I mean, as it turned out, today was a great day for Manchester United, especially with Chelsea dropping points, Liverpool tying, City lost as well. So this is good for Manchester United. Just getting a point out of this game didn't do too much. We're 2 points off of Arsenal and Chelsea, who are tied for fourth place. Unbelievable on points. Obviously, there is goal differential, so Chelsea does have the fourth spot. But again, we are right in the mix, and let's just put this Burnley draw, those 2 points behind us, and focus on what we can control going forward, which is Leicester City.
Don't forget, guys, that gap was 13 points when Mourinho got the sack, and now it's 2. So quite a bit of ground we've made up. Thankfully, it's not all on our own. You know, the people in front of us are finally falling apart. Chelsea's falling apart, bro.
It was 13?
It was 13 points.
13. Okay.
Now it's 2.
I'll fact check that one.
I stand by it, sir.
You want to bet?
Gladly. You want to do double or nothing on Deschum?
No, I'm gonna let
like
it.
Like a hot
it,
bet, nothing like a real time bet on the pod, sir.
Yeah, we still don't have to. We can't waste the time to look it up. At Sam Pilger, Solskjaer's winning run might have come to an end, but his side still delivered a performance that symbolized his reign and offers hope. They refused to give up for him under Mourinho. Under Mourinho, United lose this game 2-0. Under Solskjaer, it's 2-2, and a point is game. Hashtag MUFC. I mean, that is glass half full right there. That's the definition of it. So Sam's on to something.
Optimists are around, bro. When there's positivity back in the room, when people are feeling good, even when you have a result where everyone's not thrilled in the outcome, there's still glass half full, bro, because things are looking up.
It's almost like Solskjaer, everyone is such a fan. They want him to succeed. If Jose drops points here, everyone's just United are terrible. Ole drops points, everyone's like, the fighting spirit, everything's great. And it's like the plebeians, man. What the plebeians want and what they think matter, because Ole can do no wrong at the moment. We could have lost that game and everyone would be like, oh, they're still fighting for Ole. They wanted to come back.
You think we'd have lost 2-0 if we didn't get the penalty?
No, if we got like one of the goals and we're trying as hard as we were. I do think Ole is in such a position he has so much political capital that he can do no wrong at Old Trafford, and that is a huge sign of it. Where we drop these 2 points, everyone's still like, oh, we're doing it. This is a great game.
Interesting point, sir. Interesting point.
Glass half full. Next tweet, at Austin Lenz, at Austin _LENZ on Twitter. Quote, have to love the fight the boys are showing for Ole. Would have loved 3 points. But what a hell of a comeback! Exclamation point. I think this is more of how I'm feeling about it. Like, love three. We need 3 points. We love 3 points. We're fighting for top four. But hell of a comeback, and you got to tip your hat to the boys. Give them another chance.
Dude, look at the way Lindelof reacted after scoring his first Manchester United goal.
Not a bad goal.
Not a bad goal, dude. Tight angle, and
he kicked it right at the keeper on the ground.
Above his head. He did clear the keeper, technically. Clear the heat on the ground.
It looked like he almost
no time to celebrate, bro. Didn't pull a Liverpool and like charge into the corner like you just won the Premier League. Go get that other goal, because the team never stopped fighting until John Moss blew the whistle early.
Our next tweet, at United Extra, quote, 2 points off top four now. That result yesterday now looking very much like a point gained rather than 2 points dropped. Hashtag MUFC. Have to agree with this. If Chelsea would have gone to win, would have been much different. But the fact that they got murked by AFC Bournemouth, your boy Eddie Howe. I know you were talking about Eddie Howe.
It's a long time ago
you wanted to get Eddie Howe Manchester.
Still
United,
pretty good manager, bro. Look at him.
I mean, that David Luiz defending, that's always good for like a blow-up match. Shout out to the Brazil.
How about
Luiz?
Porky Pie Higuain with zero shots on goal, bro. That was my favorite part.
I didn't even know he played.
Zero shots on goal, bro. 90 minutes.
How much? Hey, that's like Falcao 2.0 right there. That's what I said.
That's why you loan him. That's why you loan him.
Like, you were excited of him coming in. You're like, yeah, this guy can score goals. Like, he's kind of been off his best form. And then you're just like, oh my God, he is like, he's terrible. That reminds me of Torres. Sir, we got to put Burnley behind us because there is a next match. It is in the league. It is huge. You have Leicester City versus Manchester United, Sunday, February 3rd, 6 a.m. Pacific time kickoff at the King Power Stadium. Leicester just pipped the Liverpool, the top of the league, sir. They did a 1-1.
Your boy Slab had scored.
It was at their house, and my boy, Harry Maguire, the defender I won at Old Trafford, the Phil Jones replacement, the Englishman, the force.
He looks like he can get it for a cut rate these days, bro.
I mean, we were talking 100 million last summer.
I bet 50 we could get him.
Probably 70. More like 70. Well, probably a little less than Van Dijk. Probably not. Definitely not worth it, but in this game, it's tough. Looking at Leicester City, United have won 16, drawn 7, and lost 2 lifetime. But hey, there is that man they have up top. Salty Vardy always does well against Manchester United.
Yep.
United have won 4 of our last 5 meetups with the Foxes, but we drew 2-2 last time we played at the King Power Stadium. Mata had a brace, but there was a last-minute equalizer from Slabhead, so that's another reason why we should sign him. He comes back to haunt us. Leicester City famously won the 2015-16 Premier League season, their first top-level football championship. They are one of only 6 clubs to have won the Premier League since its inception in 1992. A number of newspapers describe Leicester's title win as the greatest sporting shock ever. I would say probably the greatest sporting underdog story of all time, especially with Jamie Vardy drinking every night.
Double Red Bull vodkas, bro. He's gonna have one before Sunday, too.
Every night he would drink a double Red Bull vodka. and he broke Rob Van Persie's consecutive goal-scoring record on the way.
Nistelrooy.
Van Nistelrooy.
RV something.
RV Nestroy. RV Nestroy.
RV, whatever.
Sir, right back at you. Right back at you. Back at you, brother. Go make some headlines. Some Leicester fans consider Nottingham Forest to be their main rivals. The club's other rivals are Derby County and East Midlands Derby. Is any match involving two of these three clubs?
So now you know.
Everyone's talking about East Midlands, mate. That sounds like something out of Game of Thrones. The Queen of Thorns ruling over the East Midlands. We have some injuries. Let's check in with the physio room before we get to our starting lineups. Paul Pogba took a knock. He was kind of yogging at the end of the Burnley match. Haven't heard too much on that front, but he should be available for Leicester. Martial looks like it was a knock as well. I don't know. Do you think it was illness knock? Either way, he is a maybe for the game. Fellaini's out with a calf strain, and he's on the block. So I don't think we're going to see Fellaini featuring for United if he's off to China. There's only one day left at the time of us recording this podcast in the transfer window.
That's true, but the Chinese transfer window in January goes until the 28th of Feb. So we got plenty of time to ship him.
See, that's why you're the head scout of American Red Devils. And Marcus Rojo, he is hanging in Argentina.
Drinking mate.
Chilling like a villain. Sir, give me your lineup. Who do you think is going to start based on those injuries? Any changes from the Burnley match? You going to play Pereira?
Pereira up top. My starting number? No. Dave saves in net. Who else? I'm bringing Delo. Maybe he can get a cross in at right back. I think in the center back pairing of Victor Lindelof. Who else? And Eric Bailly back in because, you know, him and Salty Vardy always get along well. I'd love to see that. Luke Shaw back in left back. And then midfield three. Bang on. Herrera, Pogba, Matic. Sorry, boys. No time for rest. And then I like a front three of Sanchez, Lingard, Rashford. Assume it's too soon for Martial to make it. He's going to be on the bench.
Too soon. Well, I got him in my starting 11, sir. We have Dave Saves the World, number one in net. Ashley Young, Lindelof, Bailly, and DeLo.
I rate
DeLo on the left-hand side. Herrera, Pogba, Matic. That cannot change. So please, Ole, do not change that. And I'm going to say Martial makes it. He's a mean mug, and he'll get back from anything. Lingard and Rashford. Rashford playing the number 9. Sir, let's book in the bookies. Let's book the bookies here. We have some odds for this match. Manchester United, -109, the favorite to win. But you're getting a little less than even money there for Manchester United to win. It is away, so that's the one little here. Leicester City, +255. That seems like the bet here if you're a gambling man. And the draw, +235. Again, Leicester coming off the Liverpool draw. They're dangerous. Our defense is shaky. We let up 2 to Burnley at home. Sir, what is your prediction? What do you make of it?
Sir, I mean, this could easily be a draw. I think draw is the good money on this because Leicester always get up against us. Vardy always gets up against us. And, you know, historically going away.
I don't care what you're betting on, sir. What is your prediction? What are you putting up here?
Sir, I'm calling 1-0 United. Tight game.
You didn't call the draw. You always call the win.
I'm going to bet the draw, but I'm calling the win, baby, because you know what? I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
I'm saying 3-0 United storm Woo! Back. That Burnley defeat fresh in mind. Love Players it. Are going to just murk Leicester. And Rashford's going to finish that early chance. That's going to be the difference maker here. That is why we're going to steamroll Leicester City at King Power.
Those early chances were our key, man. A lot of these games that we've done well under in Ole, we got those early chances and we took it.
Yeah, that's something under Mourinho we couldn't do.
No doubt.
Get off on the front foot. Sir, you are the lead scout here at the American Red Devils podcast. January transfer window muppetry is coming to an end. I know you said in your spicy headline that no one's going to be bought or sold. I mean, bought by Manchester United, but we have some players we're linked to here. Give us your hot take. Any chance we can get them in before the deadline on the 31st?
It's been a hell of a January. Been a lot of yapping
no
out of me.
No news.
No nothing.
No news. Not even good fake news, sir.
Marginal fake news? It's been plenty of fake news.
No, this is the worst January transfer window. This is the worst transfer window Manchester United has ever had. And the reason why I knew we weren't going to buy anyone is because there's no news. No one's even making up rumors about who we're going to buy. I mean, there are some, but like, there's no
like
real.
Like, well, they're like so ridiculous that you know there's nothing in it.
Like, that's how you know we're not actively shopping anyone, because there's no consistent feed of news. There's Koulibaly, like, we want him for like a week, and then obviously Napoli's like, nah.
No, Koulibaly's legit. Right.
I no, think that was legit. We want to buy him, but
it's still
Napoli's
legit, but it's
not
happening
ball.
In January. Yeah. It's like we're going to have to wait in the summer because it's going to be a massive deal. But the first one is from Tuto Mercado Web, very highly rated report. They're reporting that United are considering an offer for PSV winger Stefan Bergwijn. I can't pronounce that last name. On the instructions of caretaker Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the 21-year-old Netherlands international only signed a contract last summer until 2022. But we are keen, according to Tuto Mercado, and you know, a region of £25 million to secure his services. Here's my thing on this guy: he's pretty good, but he plays on the left wing. Can play on the right. Been off to a good start, but we got a $30 million buyback clause on Memphis Depay, bro. I don't know.
He's Depay said he wanted to go play for like Manchester City.
Well, he forgot.
Depay
must have been mixed up.
I don't want Depay on our team
now because of that. Because that one line.
Yes. Yes. You're dead to me, mate. You're dead to me. You don't tweet out. I want to play at Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester City, and not say Manchester United. I mean, get out of here.
He's got bad blood.
He also
bro.
Raps on Instagram. He's terrible. Just like, get out of here.
He married Steve Harvey's daughter.
He's not worth it. He's not worth the riffraff.
All right, so there we go.
He's never going to be good enough to deal with, like, he has to be Ronaldo level for you to put up with this
rap. Pretty yoked. He's like pretty yoked. Anyway, Bergwijn, he looks legit. There seems to be a decent amount of smoke around him, but
Tuto Mercado. This is why we're not buying anyone, right here.
Tuto Mercado.
You said a Tuto Mercado.
Tuto Mercado. What a wonderful way.
It's not a good source.
Anyway, next one.
Yeah, we talked about Fellaini going to China, £7 million fee. I mean, I think this is going to happen, right?
No, I think it's a done deal. I think it's just a matter of time. Apparently, he's already signed. We're just negotiating the actual contract with Shandong Luang. But apparently, he's going to get a contract around €11 million, and we're going to get a fee of £7 million. So, like I said, we'll pay Alexis Sanchez's salary for 1 week. So, that should help with that.
That's probably like a month and a half. Sir,
maybe.
What's our last rumor here?
The last piece of news, according to the Standard, is that the big unit, bro, Kalidou Koulibaly, remains our number one top defensive target. And you know what? He should be, because he's a game changer. We got to pull a Liverpool. I hate to use that analogy. And we just got to just pay over the odds and figure out what do we need to fill. We need to fill center back. And he is the best available.
Sir, what is the amount of money that Ed Woodward has to spend this summer that would make you content? Not ecstatic. Content? The fact that we didn't buy anyone other than Fred last summer, and we didn't spend any money
Lee
this
Grant,
January.
Mate. We paid Lee Grant. Don't forget, Lee Grant on free.
We did not, yeah. Lee
I
Grant,
mean, we got to spend like, at least $200.
He's selling noodles. That's all he's doing online in those videos, selling noodles.
Lee Grant's having a great time, bro. I can't.
I wish I was Lee Grant. The only reason why I hate on Lee Grant is I'd love
you're
to
jelly.
Be him.
You're just so
paid,
jelly. You're like
paid to hang out
you just
the
saw
team.
Him, you saw him in Dubai, just like having a great time. Exactly. You're like, I could be in Dubai. It's raining in San Francisco.
I could do that job.
Sir, 200 million pounds. That's my number. You got to spend at least. We should spend 350.
Sir, that's...
That's like 100 million.
That's not even two players.
No, that's three
players.
You
want to buy Mbappe and Koulibaly, and that's more than 250.
Yeah, you think we're buying Mbappe? I wish we're playing
Mbappe.
You
need to buy some winger in the region of 100 to 150, and you need to buy a defender in the region of 100.
See, I don't think
that. I'm going to say my number is 250. If United don't spend 250 next summer,
I think you're
going to
be disappointed.
Burning the mother down.
I think you're going to be disappointed, sir.
I'm going to be so mad at Woodward.
Because we're going to spend more on a defender than we spend on one attacker. That's my prediction as well for the summer.
Sir, I am in process of making a Ed Woodward shaming t-shirt similar to the Roger Goodell clown shirt.
I like it.
That Barstool famously coined. I'm going to make a similar one for Ed Woodward. Or I think the Glazers would be better. Put a photo of the Glazer on the front and then put the clown nose on.
All you
got to
do is make sure you
include
the nose and that awful rat tail that the Glazers all seem to rock.
Tough times, but let's jump into United in the news. Big news, sir. FA Cup draw. We drew Chelsea. Hello, hello, hello. Chelsea success is fucking hello. All the money they took
from that big Russian crook,
and you'll never win three in a row.
Piss off.
Fuck Chelsea.
Plastics.
So pumped that we get to smoke them. Beat Arsenal away. Gonna have to beat Chelsea away, and we're gonna win the cup. Easy as you like. I like these matches in the FA Cup. Ole, boys getting fired up for it. Gotta start Jesse Lingard. I can't believe he didn't start Lingard. He is right now.
Sir, don't worry about it.
He's right behind Rashford as far as. Like
he might be
fine. Pogba's like in the stratosphere. It's like Rashford and Lingard; those two players
are
playing like real well, very well right
now.
And he's undroppable because he could score.
I know, but we have so many. Do we have so many games coming up that you don't want to get players injured? So it is. It's reasonable. We're talking once again about the lineup. Once again about Piera. But at the end of the day, dude, you got to make subs because people are. He's not that young. He's 26. He can get injured easily.
Where in the world is Fred? What is
I don't
going
know.
On?
I don't know.
Fred? He's got some disease. Something's going on where Fred.
Case of the mopes.
You're right. I actually didn't think about that, but Fred definitely should have started.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on? He's in the song. He's in the new Ole song.
He's got to earn that, bro. Hasn't
we
earned
got
that
Rashford
yet.
And Paul Pogba and Fred.
I'm excited
and
about Chelsea, dude. I want to beat Chelsea. I want to revenge from the FA Cup final last year. That was terrible. I can't even think back to that horrible performance. I want to beat them at the Bridge in front of all their shit fans, especially after that 2-2 where we should have won, and then they came
they
back.
They seem ripe for the taking. They just let up four to AFC Bournemouth.
Away.
Sarri's kind of his grip on that squad starting to fall, just like many Chelsea managers before him.
Who's next, mate? Who's the next manager?
They're fresh. Next article here, Neymar expected to miss both legs of the Champions League. I mean, this is real deal Holyfield. I did tweet out, I didn't want any excuses from PSG. I want everyone fit when we play them. But man, Neymar is no more. The fragile Brazilian, I heard this being broken down where he keeps holding the ball until players basically kick him. He should be smarter to get rid of the ball. He knows that players are going to be playing him physically. And again, it's on Neymar. Same injury as last year. How much does this help us? Like if you're a bookie, like how many goals is Neymar worth in that game? Probably over the full tie. He's probably worth at least 1.25 goals.
I would give 1.5 to 2 goals, not just scoring but also assisting. I mean, he's a super dangerous player, one of their best. But they also have Mbappe, they also have Cavani, they also have the Snake. They got a good midfield, they got a good defense. So it's like, I mean, I think either way,
Buffon and Net.
Yeah, old man Buffon, but they also have like. A lot of good Brazilians in their back line. They got a good team. So we need to not underestimate them. We need to go into them and assume that, you know, you have a Neymar, bro, because I don't care what they're saying. You know, they got these sketchy-ass doctors down in the Iberian Peninsula that all of a sudden give you a shot, and Neymar's back to good. So I still think he can make it for the second leg.
I mean, I have to say, even as a fan, like we're going to this game, and be nice to see Neymar, although I do think the more exciting player at the moment is Mbappe. Like you said, Neymar gets all the focus, all the haterade, all the drama, but they have a great team, PSG. When it comes to this match, we should be worrying about them. We should be worried about ourselves.
There you go.
Right. Paul Pogba, he can be a difference maker. Marcus Rashford, Jesse Lingard, Anthony Martial. We have the talent. It's just, can we get them to show up? Can we get the tactics right?
It's going to be a big test for us, sir, but I think we got it, bro. And those European nights are special. I can't wait for our first Manchester United Champions League tie, bro. Ooh.
It's going to be awesome. Next article. Great news. This could be the biggest signing Maybe a reason why we're not doing other signings. David De Gea is expected to sign a contract extension in the coming weeks. I heard as early as next week. This is per the Daily Mirror, so give it a grain of salt. But where there's smoke, there's fire, and Dave Saves getting paid here, my
Sir,
man.
Sir, pay him, bro. Paid.
Probably world record wages for a keeper, right?
No doubt. He'll be the highest. I mean, he should be matching the salary of Sanchez. Probably your best played goalie in the world, one of our best played players, one of the best played best paid players in the league. So he deserves it, bro. He deserves it. And I hate to, I said this a couple weeks ago, but if we retain and sign up all of our players that we need to sign in the January, have a bleed into February, but that's as important as new signings, right? Getting De Gea locked down, getting Martial locked down, getting Herrera locked down, and then you can work with the bit players. Like Ashley Young.
Yeah, they're going to finance his wages by putting sponsorships on his goalie gloves on the inside. It's going to say Chevrolet Lac-a-Rack. So every time he makes a save, you see Chevrolet.
What about past him, bro? What about past him?
Genius. Commercial genius, mate. Next article, similar. Martial is set to sign a new 5-year contract extension until 2024. I mean, this is exactly what we need. Promising young talent in form. Get him down for 5 years, probably going to sell him towards the end of that contract. That's just usually the way the world works. And he seems like he's hot and cold, right? He's a hot and cold player. So it's good to lock these type of players with a lot of potential up for the long term, because if anything goes wrong, you can sell him on for a big fee. I don't want that to happen. But again, he seems to be an emotional guy.
Well, he's only hot.
Not too normal. He's always angry looking, you know. But
he's mean mugging, bro.
He's got great skills.
I think he's got some off field stuff. I think was what you're alluding to.
I think he's got some baby mama drama.
Apparently, he has. But at the end of the day, dude, he's hot and cold only in the sense that he's young and he's still inconsistent. Same way Marcus Rashford, right? His game against Burnley, if he was playing like he was against Tottenham, he would have scored a hat trick, bro. It's like, so. These players are young, they're consistent, but they still haven't hit their top tier. They still haven't hit their full potential. That's why you retain a Martial. Don't let him leave for free and join, who knows, any other team besides us. But lock him down. Why not, bro? This is exactly who we got to be signing to a long-term contract. And apparently we're only giving him like $1.50 a week, bro. Nothing.
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 $1.50 a week.
Fucking nothing.
Fucking nothing, mate. Next article from Bleacher Report. Lukaku. Mourinho did a lot for Manchester United. It deserves some respect. Lukaku giving some cheeky quotes here. He's like, I'm not going to compare the two managers. He says, I believe that Mourinho has done a lot for this club. He won trophies, so I have a lot of respect for him. He is the coach who signed me. Solskjaer has just started his story here. I hope that goes well. I just hope we finish in the top four and that we win a trophy. So Lukaku seeming to be on the other side of the fence when it comes to the managerial change, understandably so, given Rashford's kind of taking that number nine role here. So if anyone were to be slated, I think it's big Luke. Really liking Mourinho. And Mourinho really liked him, if you remember. He signed him week in, week out, and signed him.
Sir, I think this is...
After getting rid of him,
I think you're making
at Chelsea.
I don't think this is any bad blood towards Rashford. I don't think it's any bad blood towards Ole. I think he's just remembering that, like,
no one is coming out and saying anything positive about Mourinho.
Yeah, but
and if you
mean,
do, that,
that
means you have to be like in his camp. I don't think that's true,
bro. I think so, I'm sure someone asked him a question about the two, and he gave a very respectful response, which I think shows his maturity. As a 26-year-old, he's like, this is a very level-headed response that no one can argue with, right?
You don't think
Mourinho he will be looked back positively at this club.
No, I agree.
Because of his signings.
I don't want him to hate on Mourinho. I'm just saying, can you believe the striker that was started in every single game back-to-back-to-back when he was healthy, that when that manager leaves, he's kind of a little, like, taken aback? Like, you could see Herrera when he drove into the first training session with Ole. He was kind of disappointed that Mourinho was gone because Herrera was kind of Mourinho's boy. Any type of player, when you're the boys with the manager that gets fired, you got to kind of feel like the earth has shifted a little bit under your feet.
No doubt.
And Herrera had to earn that spot, gone well, and Lukaku's still trying to fight for his role at Manchester United. It's severely been diminished since Ole's come in. There has to be a little bit there, not too much. I think it's all good because the players overall are better, teams doing well, but if anyone were to have a little beef, it might be Lukaku.
Well, that's fair, bro, because he's going to have to earn it now in a way that he didn't have to earn under Mourinho. He played. I thought he looked pretty good on the right wing against Arsenal, certainly had two assists and a good result. But you know what? This is going to make Lukaku a better player, right? Sink or swing, dude. Can you live up to this system? Can you play out of the position that you haven't been used to playing? Can you play out wide? Can you do whatever I ask you to do in order to get the team to achieve and win games? So... this is what you need, dude. Throw him in the fire and see, right? You're not bang on starter. Rashford took your spot. Earn it.
All right, sir. Jumping into fan questions. We tweeted out, if you guys have any comments, questions, we'll feature them on the pod. We got a great response from you guys. So let's hit it, sir. I'm going to give you quick fire questions from at Liam Whitworth 7 on Twitter. Andres, last United game?
No.
Phil
last
Jones.
Start, though. His last start.
For a bit. Phil Jones, how much do you think we can sell him for?
£20 million with add-ons.
No way. That's like £14 million. Mata.
With add-ons.
Mata, not for Ole's new system, question mark?
I think they'll give him another year.
And Shaw, time to sell.
No. He's too young.
So
who you got his cover?
We did get a comment on Twitter this week about Luke Shaw. I want to apologize. I was a little too harsh on Luke Shaw.
You were very harsh. You were pretty harsh on him.
I don't rate him for whatever reason. You're more of a fan of Luke Shaw. I just think it's kind of, he's always been a lot to deal with, and we haven't really seen him come off. So my bias relates to the fact he's been here so long, and he hasn't really come off for Manchester United. So if that came across in the last pod, I apologize, Luke Shaw. I know you're a big listener of this pod. you're just like kind of like a Wayne Rooney. You got all the talent in the world. You just got to stop eating so many pies so you can really break into the first team.
Shaw's not even in the same class as Wayne Rooney, bro.
You know what I mean. But I do think Luke Shaw did play well last match.
He's got an Anderson problem, is what you're saying? He's got a Fry problem? what did it ever used to call Anderson, Little Miss Piggy?
Likes his chips, mate. His chips. Next Twitter question, at Man United Albany. Thoughts? Andres played himself out of United. That seems to be the topic here. Lots of players seem to leave their heads in London. Rashford and De Gea were both off. Do agree that Rashford was off. De Gea, I think he had a lot to do on both those goals. Our style of play is fast-paced, which doesn't work with Lukaku or Mata. What do you think about that last reaction there?
I mean, I agree with the Mata statement. I don't agree with Lukaku because we played really quick on the counter against Arsenal, and he played great on the wing. And I think maybe he's better suited on the wing at this point. And that's crazy to think because he's always been a poacher, always been a front man. But he's definitely got a role to play, bro. He's fast and strong, and he can still score goals. Mata, I think you're probably
coming
right.
Coming on the field, Lukaku is a difference maker in the 70th minute, right?
He started against Arsenal and was a great player.
If we're upper goal or down a goal, Lukaku's a great sub to come in.
Dude, he's a unit, and he can score goals, and I wouldn't want to defend against him, bro. You know, having him come on, whether it be the first minute or the 71st minute, I would never want to defend Romelu Lukaku. No.
Next Twitter question here, at Ty Kircher. Absolutely loved the fight the boys showed. I went mad after Lindelof scored. That's what we like to hear. Thought we were done for. Credit to Burnley for executing a great plan. Well, rebound for Leicester. Exclamation point. Question, why not start Sanchez or Lingard over Lukaku so Rashford can be in the center? Hashtag GGMU. Sir, why don't we start Sanchez or Lingard over Lukaku there?
That's a good point. I think this was rotation.
Rashford would have been better down the center, though.
No, I agree.
Playing Lukaku on the wing, but instead you had Lukaku down the middle. That's the one. That's also
I agree with that,
point
bro. I think that was not the best decision to play him straight up front. Play him on the wing. He's shown he can play on the wing. And I think Sanchez didn't start because he just started the game before, and Lingard, he was trying to rotate.
Lingard should have started. So I agree with you, Tyler. Next Twitter question or comment, at MJFitz16. Pogba injury a thing, question mark? With the games in Feb, both he and Matic. I like call Matic Magic. Have to be rested and at full strength, but when can you sit them? That is a good question. Unfortunately, I don't think we can.
You couldn't sit him against Burnley, right?
I mean, Chelsea FA Cup. I mean,
no.
Beat PSG in the first leg. Also, the first leg of PSG will tell us a lot about the tie.
Yeah.
And what games mean more. So the FA Cup game might mean more if PSG smoke us. I mean, you never want to say die, but as it relates to the cup competition, that's kind of where we can pull strings. With 2 points back in the league, that has to be our top priority. And I know Pochettino came out this week. Funny that we talk about priorities. He said top four is more important than the FA Cup after they lost to Chelsea, right? And that's he's right, though.
No, he's not.
If you look at the league and the money you make out of being in top four, it is the amount of money that you make is obscene. You have to make top four. It's a business, right? And clearly the FA Cup is not worth like £150 million. I mean,
well, that's why he's never won a trophy. That's why he's never won a trophy, bro. I mean, I get that.
To United fans, it's trophies, but to like Tottenham, even to United now, to the board, it's top four. Like the Glazers' priority is top four, not any silverware. The United's fans, silverware.
No, right? I think if Ole finishes in top four and doesn't win a trophy, he still gets the job. If he gets, he wins the FA Cup and doesn't finish in top four, you don't know.
If you ask any fan what they want more, a trophy or a top four, I think as a United fan, you want trophies.
Depends. Right? Also depends on the trophy. Depends on the trophy.
Okay.
I take a Champions League over top four. Because you make it to the top four. Okay, the question is,
well, Poch was quoted, and then he's like one of the managers we're looking at hiring. FA Cup gets bounced. We don't care. Top four is a priority. Like, would you rather win the FA Cup or finish top four?
Top four.
So you're in Poch.
But he's never won.
FA Cup. I would say FA Cup. If you're not going to win the league, I'd rather get a trophy. The club makes enough money as it is. The only thing that top four affects is like recruiting top players, exactly. Right? That's the biggest thing you get hurt is recruiting top players. But I think you won silverware, right?
There are a lot of good questions, though.
I mean, a lot of good questions. Really appreciate you guys reaching out. It's been a hell of a week, hell of a month, record month for us as far as downloads are concerned. So we appreciate all you guys that are sharing and downloading the American Red Devils podcast. It has been a riot. Let's give you guys your shout-outs for the top cities over the last 7 days. This is our first UK top of the list, Heathfield, United Kingdom. Shout-out to Heathfield, sir. You said you had to look it up on a map. Is this East Midlands, mate?
It's lower. It's south. It's like between London and Brighton, bro.
King of the North, Neil's for No Man in Heathfield. What up? Thanks for the downloads. Number two, Jamaica, New York. What up, Jamaican bobsled team? Number three, Los Angeles, California. You're probably sitting in traffic. That's why you love podcasts. We appreciate you. Sir, hit us with the next.
Number four, New York, New York. Watch out for that polar vortex. Number five, Hobbiton, a.k.a. Oslo, Norway. We love you. All in jest. Keep it going, sir.
Number six, San Francisco Bay Area, hometown where we broadcast from. Number seven, Singapore.
What up, chicken rice?
Number eight, Dallas, Texas. Sir, bring us home.
Number nine, Salisbury, Lax Capital, Maryland. And number 10, Chicago, Illinois, a.k.a. negative 60 degree wind temp,
a.k.a. Chirac City. Ooh. You got your icicles, mate. People fighting in the streets, trying to get warm. I think a just general shout out to all the Americans facing the polar vortex. Sounds terrible. It's going to rain here, I think, tomorrow. So, you know, there is that in California. But it sounds pretty gnarly, people. Minus 50, schools being canceled. So I'm sure you're inside getting warm and watching some football.
Stay warm. Stay safe. I was hearing that it's so dangerous. You can't have exposed skin and take deep breaths in Chicago. So especially all our fans in the Midwest, be safe. You know, stay indoors.
It's like the day after tomorrow.
Stick by a nice warm dark ale, like QPR style.
And also some content watch on Netflix, the Premier League Legends, sir. You watched I watched the Teddy Sheringham.
Oh, it was great. And so was the Andy Cole one. It was awesome too.
Yeah, Andy Cole. So it talks about these, you know, United Legends coming into the club.
Skip the Scousers.
Yeah, skip all the Scousers. But it's a great watch on Netflix. So if you have the time, I definitely give it a shout. Lots of goals. Sir, we are so close to 50 reviews on iTunes here, and we are giving away free stickers. We are trying to get that 50 reviews mark, and I know we can do better. I know some of you guys are listening to this pod. You support us, but hey, you haven't written a cheeky review. His with 5 stars. Take a screenshot. You can email us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at @USAREDDevils, and we will send you a sticker for free. It's pretty cool. We've seen them on fridges, water bottles. You can put them on your neighbor's car, whatever you want to do. But it's a great sticker, great way to support the pod, and we appreciate you. Another way to support the pod, sir, this is a new one, Patreon. We have a Patreon page. You can find it at www.AmericanRedDevils.com, and you can support us. You can pledge $1 a month, $5 a month. It goes a long way to cover our hosting costs, our equipment. We're actually acquiring more equipment because we're going to do the U.S. Men's National Team Takeover podcast with our good friend Mike, the self-proclaimed U.S. Men's National Team expert.
Expert.
We have traveled to a few World Cups together and gone to tons of U.S. Soccer matches. We are going this weekend.
A little bit of a scouting mission.
Costa Rica, U.S. Men's National Team at Avaya Stadium. That's Saturday at 2 p.m. So stateside, if you're watching that, It's going to be a big match. We're going to get you a pod probably in a week or two. Depends on Mike's schedule here. Breaking down the U.S. men's national team, the new coach, kind of the Gold Cup this summer. It's going to be big. Lots of questions being asked about the U.S. men's national team. We did beat Panama 3-0, so...
You know. Soccer powerhouse Panama.
Soccer, mate. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't wait.
The two worlds. We have the footballing world, the Manchester United, and then we have the soccer.
USA Soccer.
ML Major League Soccer.
Yeah, by the way, my wife was thrilled to hear that we were going to watch more soccer before we go on a week-long soccer trip.
Yeah,
so,
we were saying, oh, what can we do? We're going to London. We're going to go watch a ton
let's
of
go
soccer.
To USA,
the
but Costa
weekend
Rica.
Before, let's go watch U.S. men's national team. But, hey, when the national team's playing... You know, an hour away, you got to kind of make the haul.
And it's Avaya, bro. Avaya is way better than Levi's.
Yeah, Levi's Stadium. It's the worst.
Dump.
But we could go on forever. It's been a hell of a ride, guys. And we're prepping for that big trip to London and to Manchester. We got Fulham and PSG. Heavy week, heavy February, heavy month, I mean, for February with Ole at the wheel. We're going to see how we feel after February and all these matches, sir.
And get ready, American Red Devil fans, because we got a hell of a surprise coming, and it's that flag. Where do you see this flag we unveiled that we are picking up in Manchester before the PSG game from Barmy Flags, the finest flag maker in all of UK.
To Barmy
Flags.
Dude,
it's epic. It is freaking epic. Can't wait.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Get up for Leicester. We'll see you soon. And as always,
kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.